You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Final hour of Grant and Danny. I'm in my basement. Danny's in his laundry room, and the show goes on. You're listening to The Fan on this Monday. Our pal Joe Beninati, you know him from his work calling Caps games on NBC Sports Washington, joins us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Joe B., we miss you, man. We need some hockey. We need your voice and Locker's face again as soon as possible.
You ain't kidding. And as long as we can do it safely, right? And I cross my fingers. I pray that that's going to be sooner than later, but nobody knows. And that's the troublesome part, is that there's really no way to pinpoint any of these returns to normalcy. I just wish we could get there as soon as we can.
Joe, I mean, you do off seasons. Like, that happens. There are nights where you don't have hockey, right? You go through the summertime, and that's not that unusual. But have you found yourself just starting to go about your day as if there's hockey that night and then kind of remembered halfway through, you're like, oh, that's right, I'm not driving to the arena tonight. I'm not doing my lineups. I'm not doing my big board.
Yeah, this is crazy, Danny, because this is the part of the season normally where college lacrosse starts to enter the picture, as well as the Caps end of the regular season. So all of that college lacrosse that I would do for BTN on Big Ten Network is gone. This was going to be a spring where I was hoping to do the NCAA tournament on ESPN. ESPN had reached out and said, can you hold early May for us? That's all gone. And you find yourself saying, what happens? I would normally be doing, my March schedule was so stacked, and then to have it all go away is a big shock to the system.
Joe B. with us on Grant and Danny. So I texted you and I said, look, we're going to get some different broadcasters on this week who are missing calling games to just announce them doing something that every one of us does at home. So what is the act, so to speak, that you have chosen today to call play-by-play out for us?
Well, we have a seasoned veteran doing the laundry as he manages to reach down and pick up the laundry basket. Look at the power. Look at the grace. Look at the style as he maneuvers through the staircase and around the television set. Wait a second. Well, Mr. Burns, I'll sue the pants off of you. You don't have to do that to get my pants off. Sorry, that was a Simpsons episode. Making his way towards the laundry room, enters the laundry room. This laundry room episode is brought to you by Tide 3-Pods, special spring meadow formula. That's nice. What happened to laundry detergent, by the way, guys? Now everything is in this tight little ball, this little capsule that I can shoot for three. Swish! Nailed it right into the laundry machine. I like it. Loading. Okay, how does one person develop this much laundry? I don't understand. T-shirts going in, towels as well. Let's find. He has such a deft touch. He's going to the heavy measure, twisting, turning, pulling. Oh, he sets the speed at gentle. The load side is large. He steps back. He has successfully completed the first part of the situation. Now, the one that all guys are really bad at, the dryer. Things go in the dryer about a month ago, and then it's time to take them out. Don't worry about folding them. There's never anything. No, wait a second. There's time. Time left. Time ticking, and it's over. It's still wet. Soaking wet. Disappointing. Disappointing episode. Try us again. We'll try the 3 o'clock load.
Joe Beninati, amazing. Boys and girls.
Amazing.
On the call. Of himself doing laundry.
Sometimes
at
you
home.
Don't win these games. Sometimes you lose, and that's
you can't
part
win them
of
all,
that's why
Joe.
We tune in. That's why we tune in.
All this lying and cheating and phony doctors. Hello, come on, Danny, give me a voice. I need some voice caricatures here. Do Barkley, please. Barkley.
Okay, that's the thing. Joe B. He lost his laundry game.
I thought he going to win it, but he lost because he caught him. He didn't get the right setting. You need the fabric softener in there, too, Kenan. Back to you, Ernie.
Well, man, that's too good. Man, you are too good. I did. Oh, you know what? I forgot the fabric softener, and I forgot these little the dryer sheets. The fabric softener sheets, all
you
this other
throw
stuff.
By the way, we're hoping to get Walton on and some of the other broadcasters in town, but have you heard Danny's John Walton yet?
Negative.
All right, let's try it out for Joe B, see what he thinks, Danny.
That's Joe. Here's Joe Beninati. He's at home. He's trying to get his laundry done, struggling, because he's got his hands full with the basket, couldn't get the door open. There he is. He finally kicked it down. Puck drops. He's got himself a laundry pot. Most people are using detergent, but not Joe B. He's making observations about pods. Look, it's waffled to the side as a sock falls to the ground. Have to make sure you pick it up, otherwise you put it back in the laundry on its way to the dryer. There you go.
That's called talent right there. That's talent.
Thank you,
well done. Well done. Too good. Too good.
That is a good time. Joby, when was the first time you ever called a game? First game you called, not even like television, whatever, but just your first experience?
It would have been on college radio as a 17-year-old freshman.
Wow.
So I was
cool.
Yeah, I was first asked to do Bowdoin College hockey. I'd hoped to be playing that game, by the way, but I got hurt my freshman year. I couldn't play, and buddies of mine were DJs on the campus radio station. Hey, can you figure out how to help us describe these games? Do you mean like play-by-play? And they said, yeah, and I jumped into it. There was a little three-camera cable access TV station that heard me do it on the radio. I don't know how they found my phone number, but they called me up out of the blue. Hey, we heard you on the radio. Do you want to do this on TV? Sir, I'm just turning 18. Oh, that doesn't matter. And that's where it all started. I did my first
game
on television when I was 18.
So you'd call that first game. It's not something you'd thought about doing presumably before that. It was kind of someone came to you. And then are you naturally pretty good where you go, I could do this? Or when you look back, was it like not very good at all?
The real part of the story was when I would have been, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years old, and we'd be playing touch football, pole to pole. I was the dum-dum who had all the names. So, hey, let's be the 49ers and the Packers. And Joe would be calling the game while the game was playing out. And we'd play street hockey. Let's be the Rangers and the Bruins. And I had all the names. So I was running around playing street hockey, calling the game. So there was always some part of me that knew that this could be a connection, but honestly, guys, my degree's in biology. I went to Bowdoin to be going to Harvard Med School to be a surgeon. It didn't turn out that way.
Yeah, well, I'm supposed to be a lawyer, Joe, so I'm still waiting on that happening. But, dude, I get it. It really is amazing. I mean, I think back to like whenever I first started anything new, whether it was this gig that I'm lucky to have or stand up or anything else, I was terrible and I didn't know it. Do you think there was a time that you weren't any good and didn't know so, or were you good right out of the gate?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting question, right? You don't want to sound conceited. I know that to this day I still have those tapes, and I occasionally pop them in and listen to them. I listened to the first pro game that I ever did in the American Hockey League, which would have been right around what? So I graduated in 87. I'm the SID till 89. My first pro game is probably in 1990, and I know that that voice, that broadcaster, has a totally different cadence than the one now, but there were signs that he knew what he was doing, and everybody who had hired me at that time consistently was saying, keep it up, keep doing what you're doing, someday, there'll be that NHL opportunity. They wouldn't have said that to me if I didn't have right. What it takes.
Joe Beninati's been the face of Capitals hockey since my childhood. How many years in are you now with Locker, and all told?
So we start here in 1994, Grant, with Locker probably exclusively since 96.
Wow.
So it's almost a quarter century straight.
Was Locker doing the games part-time initially, or he came in a couple years later?
Well, it was me who was on the split package. So when Jeff Rimmer leaves play-by-play here in Washington to go to Florida, I was originally hired to do what was then the DC-20, WB-50 package that was separate from home team sports. The Caps made it a full-time gig for me, which was terrific. They had me sit in with Ron Weber, as a color analyst for those other 60-plus games. The trouble was the first season that I made the NHL was 1994-95. Hello, work stoppage.
Oh,
we didn't begin till January. So I lost a lot of TV exposure that season.
Yeah, but you're used to this, just not working when it's supposed to be time.
This is Danny. Stop, Danny. I've done three work stoppages in that sense. This is bizarre, though, because this is more like 1992, I want to say, there was an actual player's strike in the NHL, an in-season stoppage. I want to say it lasted 10 days. I wasn't in the NHL at that time. I was still working in Maine, I was still working in Maine in the American Hockey League at that moment. But this is such a strange interruption to what was looking like a really, really good season. And I don't pretend to know the answers as to when and where we'll be able to pick it up.
He grinded his way, AHL and then the NHL starting, as you heard that story, in 94. By the way, are you still, I saw this online looking you up today, I don't know if this is true, are you still the all-time record holder for saves in a season in lacrosse goaltending?
At 1987, school? So I've been holding that record for more than 30 years.
There we go.
That's crazy.
That's awesome.
I made a lot of stops my senior year on the lacrosse field. That's really what happened. I got so hooked into the broadcasting, and, oh, by the way, Bowden had two better goalies than me the whole time, so I played JV hockey my sophomore year and was doing all of the team sports, all the college's athletic endeavors, football, basketball, and hockey, I was doing on cable television as a sophomore at the school, and then I would play lacrosse in the spring. I was lucky to play four seasons of varsity lacrosse in the spring, and 87 was a good year. We had a really good team, and supposedly I made a lot of saves, and it's stood up for a long time.
That's really
cool.
People
are loving this, by the way, on Twitter. There is no moment he cannot capture with aplomb. The man is the greatest. I want to watch the spin cycle. Joe B., thank you very much for kicking off our series of broadcasters broadcasting.
You're the best,
while
buddy.
Not broadcasting.
I want another rep at this. I want another opportunity.
We're going to run it back. Don't you worry about that.
Thank you.
See
you,
Joe buddy. B. on Grant and Danny, one of the good guys, one of the best, and cannot wait until he is back in the booth calling Caps games with Locker. We're G&D. The Redskins just signed a defensive lineman. We'll tell you who next on the bench. Just a couple of minutes ago, the Redskins made an announcement. They have signed defensive lineman Caleb Brantley back to their roster. Brantley is a four-year NFL veteran who entered the league as a sixth-round pick in 2017. He was actually seen as a high-round draft choice who fell in the draft because of some major red flags and character issues around draft time. Appeared in 20 games with one start, has 21 career tackles. He was actually on the Redskins roster and was one of their more highly talked about up-and-coming players in training camp last year before he got hurt and he missed the entire season. So they're bringing back the 25-year-old Florida native who went to the University of Florida, Caleb Brantley,
talented
back
dude
with the Redskins.
Yeah, part of that defensive line rotation, right? I mean, that's one of those, you know, everybody
benefits.
That's
the benefits one area
this
of this team I worry about zero, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, same here. I mean, this is one of those, hey, you've got a good situation. You know, most of the personnel, good defensive coaching staff now in place. You got a chance to, you know, sort of kickstart your career again. We'll get something out of you as a rotational piece behind the Allens, the Ioannidises, and Deron Payne, et cetera. You'll be part of the rotation. You get a little good game tape, get yourself a payday. That works out for everybody. I like this signing. Kind of a no-brainer. The guy's already in the building. You don't have to move.
Yeah, I look at that D-line as a group that if they max out on their potential, and I think with a defensive coordinator like Jack Del Rio coming over to replace Greg Minuski, who was not on the level of a Del Rio, I think we can all agree, they should be one of the best D-lines in football. Now, the 4-3-3-4 thing, we've talked about this enough on the show. It really doesn't mean a whole lot. If Sweat's hand is in the dirt or Kerrigan's or what have you, it doesn't change much specifically. That having been said, the deal with the Redskins' D-line is when you've got Allen, Payne, Ioannidis, Sweat, and Kerrigan up front to go along with some combination as reserves of Tim Settle and Matt Ioannidis and Caleb Brantley and the other outside linebackers, you know, slash defensive ends that they've got rushing the quarterback now, like Ryan Anderson. That's a group that has to, we'll just call that the D-line. That defensive line in this quote-unquote 4-3 front has to make impacts every single game. It's where you've invested draft picks. It's where you've invested money. You can't just have a game where you don't rush the quarterback that well And you don't hear from Kerrigan or Sweat or Anderson.
That's a good point.
They need to get production every single week from that group. They've got to end drives. They've got to make plays that lead to takeaways. It has to be the strength of your team. You know, I mentioned I was watching All or Nothing with the Carolina Panthers from 2018 just to get a feel for Ron Rivera. One of the things he said in a meeting that I loved is he had a thing up on his board and all the players in the room sitting there looking at him. And he said, look, at some point you got to make a play, right? We all agree with that. It's the cliche in football. Like, if we make a couple plays, then we win. He said, why not right now? The play can happen on any play. And he gives a bunch of examples. The play could be a field goal. And he shows a long field goal from Graham Gano to swing a game. The play could be a tackle for loss in the first quarter that either, you know, knocks a running back backwards and a drive ends and now a team's behind the eight ball the rest of the game. But his point was, this is about making a couple of plays. Well, the defensive line's got to make more of them than everyone else. I know going into the year, my tight ends aren't that good. My left tackle situation's not great. My quarterback situation's a work in progress. And you go around the horn when you're a six-win team, you can play a lot, that game a lot, Danny. But the D-line, that's a 12-11-win D-line. I need that kind of production from those guys.
So I saw this graphic, I think it was yesterday, that the Atlanta Falcons have 11 first-rounders on offense. That's what their offense is made up of. Now, some guys went on unique paths, but bear with me for a second. That means you're heavily invested in that offense. You can't have a game where you score 17 points. That offense has to carry you. That offense has to dominate. It's got to be among the top three or four highest-scoring offenses in the sport if Atlanta has any chance. Go to the Redskins' defense. For years, it was the opposite, by the way, where they didn't have a defensive line prospect worth a damn, and we're going out and getting other people's leftovers in free agency for years. And this is where their best players came from. Sometimes they were good players, like the Barry Cofields of the world, but for the most part, it was Stephen Bowen, Jason Hatcher, Jags, right, that would miss a bunch of time. Once they finally invested in that defensive line and said, this is going to be the core of our defense, a.k.a. the core of our team as we kind of get together and grow, I think it's a great point you make. There are no games off. There's no quarters off. You really can't even have drives off, ultimately, because that's how you're built. That's where the money is. That's where the investment is. That's where the resources allocated. You've got limited and finite methods to invest and build a roster, right? Every sport has this, right, with the salary cap. So when you go a first-round pick, it may not be dollar for dollar what a big free agent signing is at, say, corner or quarterback or left tackle. But when you invest a first-round pick, you're saying this is the priority. And they've done that a couple times over, re-signed some guys. That's the strength of the team. That's where the bulk of their investment has gone on that side of the ball. They've got to be really good throughout. And Brantley's part of that, I think, playing maybe, you know, 15, 20 snaps a game.
Possibly, yeah. I wouldn't shock me. I mean, if you have a deep rotation, that's fine. I just want a lot of Allen, Payne, and Ioannidis. I mean, those guys have to be on the field. And you can rotate Settle and Brantley or Hester or Ryan B or whoever else at D-tackle in to help stuff the run on those obvious running downs. But those other guys just have to be on the field as often as possible. Hey, real quick note on the XFL. A lot of people saw that there were a few star players coming out of the XFL that wanted NFL gigs. One of them was Philip Walker, P.J. Walker, who plays for the Houston Roughnecks, was considered the best quarterback in the XFL. He signed a contract today with the Carolina Panthers. He played his college ball at Temple for Matt Rhule. He's reuniting with Rhule, presumably to be the backup to Teddy Bridgewater. So now he'll have to compete, what would you think, probably with Kyle Allen, you know, for the second and third jobs, and then maybe Will Greer's out of luck. I don't know how that would work. There's four guys
that.
There.
Yeah, I mean, they invested.
Or do you move on from Allen and keep Greer?
Was it a two for Greer? Is that what they did? Is that what they ended up picking him?
No, I think he was a fourth. If memory serves,
he was
basically the same pick as Cousins. He was like 102 or something.
Oh, okay.
Overall.
So, yeah, you haven't pushed chips in too heavily on that. I imagine at minimum a practice squad guy, honestly, just because that would seem to be a nice slot for him. At maximum, they might do what I would do. And again, I think so few teams think this way just because you have such limited practice time. But I would love to have a Taysom Hill kind of set of plays for the guy, right? Like if you've got a traditional drop back, I mean, Teddy's not unathletic, but he's also not running around like a crazy person. Walker is. I'd love to make teams prepare for my set of, you know, 10 to 15 plays that involve him just to give somebody extra stuff to worry about, have him in on goal line and that kind of thing. He could be an asset.
Yeah, I think you can play that guy. I really do. I mean, he can throw it a little bit. And I know people did the Taysom Hill could be a franchise quarterback thing. I don't buy that at all, and obviously most teams don't either because the Saints aren't being called for Taysom Hill services. But I think Walker can throw the ball every bit as good or better than him and has some of the same athletic, you know, physical traits and tools. I'd love to see him. You're right. Design a package. Get him 6, 7, 8 plays, whatever it is. Get him on the field. If Sean Payton can make fetch happen with Hill, I don't know why someone couldn't make the Walker thing work if he's your backup quarterback. So glad to see he's going to get an opportunity with the Carolina Panthers. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. You can call us at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. The president of the Toronto Blue Jays says that baseball is going to need at least a month before the start of the season to have another camp, another exhibition ramp up. We'll get into how that might look and how baseball can go about trying to get going again next right here on The Fan. The president of the Toronto Blue Jays is Mark Shapiro, and he says to expect at least 1 month of a makeshift spring training whenever we find out when baseball's opening day is going to be to ramp teams and players back up to being ready to start the season. A quote from him in the Chicago Sun-Times, knowing that so many players are not even having any access to throwing or hitting at all, but most importantly, just throwing and probably limited access to even training or exercise, it's hard to imagine we could get ready in less than 4 weeks, Shapiro said in a teleconference with Toronto reporters. So we've talked about this, Danny. How is this going to work? When the teams report again, will they go straight to their ballparks and kind of work out for a week or two? Or how does this happen? It sounds like at least one major executive running a team is advocating for the possibility of having a one-month spring training, basically just starting anew.
Like
how do you
happened.
Then schedule the games? How do you link teams up with one another? I'm not really sure. But maybe you have, like, the Astros and the Nats share a complex. You got a couple teams in the near area. Maybe you play three or four teams, three or four times each over the span of a few weeks, and then you get going.
Just then that – think about what the calendar would mean then. I mean, how deep into the year are you going at that point, right? You're obviously, I think, in a position to say – starting in a couple, in maybe a few weeks, you'd go, we're not getting 162 in this year. So what are we getting in, right? How many games do you cut in division, outside of the division? If you cut everybody by, say, 20%, 30%, does the math work out? I mean, there's a lot of complicating factors to this thing, to the way the schedule is. But if you need, call it 28 days or 30 days before you start playing, once you're finally cleared to return, what are we talking? Are we talking December baseball? Are we talking January baseball for this particular season? I don't know how you do that and get in, you know, the kind of game and meaningful schedule, unless it's basically like a 65-70 game sprint the whole way through. I don't know, man. I would just kind of say the other side of this, of course, talking from a GM's perspective, I mean, I think position players don't need 30 days, but I think pitchers do, just because you can
Correct.
Only throw so much and then you're risking injury. I don't know how you do it, man. That's
and
a complicated
And you've
got to
build
decision.
Those arms back up.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to be in the mode to go throw 7 innings on opening day. And that's what Mike Rizzo's talked about. Of utmost importance to he and the Nationals is their pitchers. Because to your point that, you know, Ryan Zimmerman, I saw a picture of he and his family on social media this weekend. He's back at home here in D.C., and they were going for a walk with the dog. Like a guy like Zim, he could show up in West Palm tomorrow and be ready to play an opening day game in 3 days probably. Don't
yep.
you think?
100%.
I mean
but
seriously,
he's also
but
a freak.
Pitcher needs weeks
yes.
and weeks to get their arm ready to go. Like Scherzer, let's say, starting on opening day. I mean, it's not even like his preference of I'd like to get this. His arm just to be ready to go would need weeks to prepare for that.
Yeah, and that's really what this is. This is about, to me, pitchers ramping up. Yes, hitters need their timing, but the days of spring training and training camps and different sports of guys needing all this time to work themselves back into shape, guys are already in shape. You know what I mean? Guys are – it's not a cardiovascular thing. They're working out. They got their private trainers. They've all got gyms in their home. This is a year-round gig. They're always in shape, and that's not an issue. It's just simply you can't replicate throwing game bullpens or in-game action. That's really what spring training is about for me. Yes, there's a corollary where hitters get to see live pitching and they can get their timing. That comes more quickly than does a pitcher being able to ramp up. You can't just throw 100 pitches every day. Your arm's got to rest. You got to ramp up. Then you got to do it again, slowly increasing as time progresses.
You mentioned kind of a sprint of a season potentially. What do you think the hit the wall date would be to get started? I think initially when
start
they
games.
Said 2 weeks, that was like bullish. Yeah, to start or like it have an opening day. I mean, I've kind of been hopeful of June 1, which I would say is borderline unrealistic right now. I'm not going to rule it completely out. It's still 2 months away. If somehow No, and I don't think June 1 games would have fans at them, for the record. But, like, if we decided in 3 weeks that baseball players and teams would report to their facilities on May 1st, I think we could have a June 1st opening day with no crowds around. And that's probably, at this point, best-case scenario. But I don't know if it's realistic. Like, to me, we're closer now to mid-June to start the season, or even maybe the start of July. And maybe you could have a July, August, September, like a three-month, maybe like an 85, 82 game, like some of the other sports, in like 3 months and 90 days kind of schedule, something like that. I don't know about you, but I would say you got to be playing games before the middle of July, or else you're in big trouble.
That's what I had in my mind, was mid-July. Because you can look at it this way. If you just say sprint August 1st through October 31st, that's your season calendar, right? You average 30 days each in those 3 months, right? So a couple of – actually, all three are 31. So you could play 25 games a month. That's not crazy. That's a sprint, and that's hard on teams, but you could maybe adjust some rules. You could have a 75-game season, right? Just do a three-month 75-game season. Now, I know it's out of balance, so maybe you'd want 76 or whatever, or try to get to 81, 82. But you see my point, right? You could get there if you start August 1st and then basically make November a truncated version of the playoffs if you wanted to go that route. But if you want more of a regular feel to it, then I'm with you. I think middle of July, kind of have that July 14th, 15th, middle of the month sort of feel to it, where you can build in some off days, you can let guys kind of ramp up and get themselves into the rhythms of a season before going to that sprint.
Maybe I'm naive, and maybe I'm not realistic at all. I still really think we're going to get a Major League Baseball season, a finish in the NBA, and a champion crowned in the National Hockey League. I really believe that. It feels more and more like a possibility that we won't, particularly in basketball and in hockey. But I still think it's going to happen. I think there's – I hate saying this with what's actually at stake in terms of lives, with what's going on with this pandemic. But I think for the leagues, there's too much at stake. For the owners in their little bubbles in the sports world, I believe they're going to figure out a way. It's probably not going to be anything that appeases us. It's not going to be something that we all – agree upon or enjoy. It's going to be Argo, man. It'll be the best
like
of a bunch
months,
of bad options.
You know, 2 months the Lakers and Bucks play three games, and like that's it, something
right.
like that.
Yeah, something. You know, I think you could have like three game playoff series instead of the seven in hockey or something. I think it's going to be something super quirky that a lot of people are bothered by, but it's just going to be viewed forever as, hey, we made chicken salad out of you know what.
I think we're talking to Todd Dybas last week, maybe during the Blitz. And here's something that, and again, this is sound like I'm just Peter the Pessimist here, but there are two different things that I'm reading. There's like real world, this is what's going on, months and months and months, and vaccines and cures and sort of whatever, right? And people are talking very openly about 18 months, a year, just very, very long term. Leagues are like, well, we're going to push back to late April and see what happens. Well, maybe June. I'm actually not with you. I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're the trend is going in the exact opposite direction in terms of what's open, what's not. Everybody's shuttering more things every day.
What's not going to happen?
I don't think you're going to get a finish to the NHL season, a finish to the NBA season.
At all.
Yeah, I think we're going to start pushing into next year, like in terms of how these next seasons start, right? September, October, November. I think we're going to be too close to that, so we're just not going to have a resolution for these seasons that are ongoing.
See, to me, I would rather them finish this season and then start next season late than have basically what they could say. The argument could be, look, this is a lost disaster of a calendar year for us. We're not going to affect next season by having these teams finish this year. So we'll just shut it down now and we'll see you in the fall. I wouldn't do it that way, though, if I'm one of those leagues. I'd rather have next year affected as minimally as possible, but maybe you start a month later, weeks later, whatever, and have a finish this year. You owe it to the older veteran players that may not be playing next year, the teams that have put in all the work that built for this season. I mean, what an asset. What a great, lucky thing that would be for, like, rebuilding teams that had no chance this year that made a bunch of trades for next season. And what a dagger for clubs like the Caps and the Blues and these other teams that are actually vying for a title and did everything right. I think you have to try to find a way to have a champion this season. I just think you owe it to the teams and the leagues and the fans themselves, the season ticket holders, the people that pay. Mm-hmm. I get what you're saying, but You know, again, maybe a month from now, as has happened many times for me, I come to a realization where I say, well, I just wasn't thinking worldly or big picture enough. But I don't necessarily think that, like, the 18 months from now, like, life's not going to be normal. Maybe I'll come to my senses, but I find it really hard to believe that, like, in 18 months, if I could just fast forward to that day, anything's happening that would feel like it's still related to this pandemic. Well, you know, maybe some of the financial fallout and stuff, possibly.
Sure.
But I mean, in terms of, like, you and I just get to watch a movie of our day doing our show together in 18 months,
right.
I don't think you would know anything ever happened.
Well, philosophically, I'm with you on what I would want to have happen. I just don't think it's realistic. Just, again, given the trend, given where we were 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, what's closed, what's not, the problems that we're still encountering, the language of the public, it seems to be different than the language of sports, where we're like,
sure,
we lost the tournament, but, you know, baseball will get started. I'm wrong, and I hope I am, by the way, but I'm with you, actually. I would rather see a resolution to this than starting a new one.
Sports are generally used as a solution at times like this.
Yeah.
They are what help us get through these times. So as soon as we can have players play in a safe manner, I think they're going to try to have that happen without the crowds there.
Agreed.
We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Next, we'll give you some of the best audio that we've got laying around from sports this weekend. Rapid fire in our final segment on The Fan. Around the NFL we go on Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Some of the big moves that came official over the weekend, starting with Philip Rivers to Indianapolis to play for the Colts. Rivers, the lifelong Charger, drafted by the Giants, still sounds weird, number 4 overall, and traded for Eli Manning on draft day. Spent his entire career with one organization. It's been taking on some water over the last calendar year, 20 interceptions and a quarterback rating sub 89 this past season. But he said he wanted to keep playing, even though the Chargers were no longer welcoming him back. And he said, if any of the 32 teams want me to be their starter, I will still be in the NFL. Well, he found a home with the Colts.
Our time was done there. Our time was done, and our family, and it was time. And we moved back here in Northwest Florida, where we've had a home now for a handful of years, and just kind of had a lot of family time, and just kind of enjoyed that, and kind of just get that wait and see what happens. I was still excited about playing and hoping to get another opportunity to continue my career, and certainly thankful that it's gonna be with the Colts.
I believe he has 8 or 9 kids, by the way. So that's not just a move. That's a move, man.
That's
you're moving the whole family.
That's true. I thought it was double digits. Maybe I'm wrong, but I've definitely lost count at some point.
It might be 9, because as a family, maybe they're up to 11 or something.
I don't know. Will he end up with more kids or seasons in the NFL?
They're literally not allowed to all go out at the same time right now because of the 10-people limit.
He's like violating local ordinances,
right,
left and right. Do you think he has anything left,
by the way?
They have to
keep someone home when the rest of them go out.
Call your shot on Phil Rivers. Is it a, oh, no, like it's just a, you know, Willie Mays with the Mets kind of thing? Or do you see a Brett Favre with the Vikings?
More that, I think. I think he's pretty good, and they make the playoffs. That's a good team, man.
They are.
I love their
front
office.
Really well set up, yeah.
Emmanuel Sanders has a new home. Remember, he was the longtime Steeler and Bronco. Finished the year with the 49ers, 36 catches and 500 yards and 9 starts with San Francisco. Was a free agent. He gets a 2-year, $16 million contract with the Saints. He likes the fit.
To play with, you know, Drew Brees, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, you know, how could I pass up on that opportunity and play in the Sean Payton system? You know, it's crazy. Every time I played in the New Orleans stadium or arena, it's always a good time. It's always a good vibe. And I just love the indoor environment and, you know, the black and just the entire environment and the songs that they play in our
people joining the conference call, which is how we now
who just joined
these
who just joined the call, please.
Is anybody there? Who was that? Calais Campbell is now a Baltimore Raven. 3 years with the Jags,
what
3 Pro Bowls, 3 All Pros. I don't understand how it only cost a late-round draft pick for Calais Campbell, but he has a new home in Charm City.
I was excited about it. You know, I've been a fan from far for a long time. You know, I grew up a big, you know, like, I mean, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, those guys were two of my favorite players growing up. So I've always kind of had an admiration for the Ravens. So, you know, when they called, I was very interested in being able to work this deal out so that I could become a Raven. You know, I was very, very excited about it.
What are the Jaguars doing, man? Why
no idea.
Trade that guy for a granola bar?
Again, I'll never understand trade comp. I also don't get if he's available. How do you not have an auction? How do you not get more? You know, you're telling me that any team worth its weight and whatever wouldn't just go, yeah, here's a fourth for Calais Campbell. I don't get it.
That is your trip around the NFL on Grant and Danny. Final few moments of the show. Tonight's assignment in the movie club, because I was hoodwinked by
bamboozled.
Tom and Danny. I was absolutely bamboozled. It's the fourth Star Wars, correct? Right?
The original Star Wars, A New Hope. It's the first movie that begun it all, that changed filmmaking forever. George Lucas kept the rights to all the merchandising, which made him a billionaire because it's the most popular franchise of all time.
But inexplicably, it's referred to as Star Wars 4.
Episode 4.
Don't really get how that works. Chad Dukes versus the world, next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.